and welcome to the USC Outsider Podcast. I'm Rick Barbera, and I'm here with the new owner of USC, Brett Huntley.
I do. I own the team.
That's
right.
3 years
running.
Congrats, Brett. 3 years in a row?
Jesus.
You played a team that didn't even look like they bothered to want to win that game.
Well.
For 3 years in a row.
They were mine for the taking.
And you got them.
Took them.
Hey, man. Well, all the best to you in the pro, since I know that you're not going to come back next year. Because if you wanted to, you could beat USC 4 years in a row.
Well, I think I'm off. I think I'm out of here. I've done all I can do.
All the best to you. Would you mind taking your coach with you?
Sure.
Oh, thank you. That's actually Scott Pitts.
Hi.
Here at the USC Outsider Podcast, we don't overthink it. Also, we're not officially affiliated with the University of Southern California. Otherwise, we would have hired a coach that actually gave a shit about preparing his team to play football. We tend to swear. So if we're on at work on your speakers, put us on headphones. If you have small children, send them out of the room. We are here today to talk USC football, the last game of the regular season against Notre Dame coming up this Saturday. And I guess we should speak about the thrashing that USC received for the third year in a row from crosstown rivals Westwood High.
Yes, 38-20. Is that the final?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was not that close.
No. The score was closer than the actual action. Brett Hundley got 326 yards. I believe he had a rushing touchdown.
He threw
one interception, which, you know, was right at the beginning of the game, and then he had 326 yards passing.
Gave SC a false sense of hope.
yeah, he did. Anthony Sorrow actually started off with a pick six, and then UCLA went three and out, punted to us. Nelson Aguilar, for some fucking reason, muffed that punt, and then it was pretty much all UCLA from there.
Yep, from there out. I think the big turning point was that fumble that they gave to UCLA when the kid stepped out of bounds.
Kendricks, right? He had his foot was on the line, and but it was sort of inconclusive. And sorry for spilling my drink. I'm trying to drink a lot to be a little bit positive about
we're still licking our
wounds
the
Trojans
here.
Today. Yeah, pardon me. Excuse me.
That's okay. And what is that? Is that some gin?
Today, and it's a gin martini. Pitts is having a vodka.
Sort of a martini.
A vodka nut. What's the thing that I
don't know.
We
put a little caper juice
in
there.
Vodka caper juice.
Because we didn't have any olives. But
again, I believe that 7-win Sark called some just baffling fucking plays with 4th-and-2 in the red zone. For some reason
early
gave
in the game
thinking that, you know, for the whole season we've been able to convert fourth downs and not kick field goals. He decided to, you know, do that again, and what happened? We got stuffed. Rather than putting 3 points on the board. He's a stubborn prick. It's gonna come back to hurt him, and I hope he's only at USC for next year.
Yeah, well,
even though I think contractually he'll be there for the next 2 years. If he's able to beat Notre Dame this weekend or next year, or UCLA next year, he will pull it out of his fucking ass.
Well,
this guy cannot coach.
I disagree
college.
With that. He can coach.
He can coach a high school football team, Pop Warner team.
He can coach, but he cannot. I don't think that he's a good head coach.
Another case of a guy who should be a great offensive coordinator.
He either needs to be an offensive coordinator or be the head coach and let somebody else call the
and
plays.
And stop calling the plays, you little prick.
Jeez, Rick's on the muscle, you guys.
Yeah, that's the venom I've got for him.
I told everybody that if Sark wasn't able to win this game, even a close game, a competitive game, that I would be off the Sark wagon. And boy, did he kind of pushed me off the wagon. He forced my hand. That was a poorly coached game.
It was a comedy of errors in the secondary.
It was awful. It was awful. And, you know,
great. And way to blitz after the first quarter.
Listen,
Coach Wilcox,
the Sark apologist can continue to say that the sanctions play the biggest role. Yes, they do play a large role, a very large role. USC only suited 42 players that day. However, how many of those 42 players are 4- and 5-star players? They should have. I guarantee you UCLA didn't play more than 45 players the whole day. Well, maybe they did. They probably emptied the bench in the fourth quarter and could have done whatever they wanted. But what are you going to do?
We are going to read a letter from Peter Italian that he sent to the president of USC as well as athletic director.
Oh, Nickius.
And the voice of Notre Dame, Pat Hayden, earlier this week. It did not involve any white powder in an envelope, so don't care about
good,
that.
Okay, good, good. Nobody's going to get hurt, right?
No one will get it. Just a
physically.
Hurtful words. And this year, I'm not really going to edit that much. Usually with Peter Italian's letters, or when he's on the show, we have Pitts and I have to go back and edit.
He's bluer than we are.
Yeah, he can go there.
Okay.
He can really go there. However, this year, not going to do it. So this is from Peter Italian to the powers that be at USC, including voice of Notre Dame, Pat Hayden, President Nickius, and 7-Win Sark. Sark is a coattail-riding USC dropout whom is constantly outwitted by defensive-minded head coaches. His play calling sucks. His fakakta flying chest bumps with players must stop. He must act like an adult and become a grinder. Put in 120 hours a week. Be that type of head coach if USC is going to be successful under him. Hayden, you need to retire. And Sark's puppy eyes tearing up after halftime was a total embarrassment. Did you catch that, Pitts?
No, I missed that.
He was crying at halftime, or at least he had bad allergies. I couldn't tell the difference.
Jeez.
Alabama defensive coordinator Kirby Smart needs to be hired ASA-fucking-P. And Garrick McGee needs to be the offensive coordinator. Bring back Coach Orgeron and hire a new strength and conditioning coach, which personally, Rick, I mean, me being Rick, I agree with the strength and conditioning. I'd see our guys giving up
a priority
after
anymore.
Two quarters.
Yep.
I don't know what joker he brought with him from Washington. His coaching tenure...
You okay?
USC football back a good 6 to 8 years. The fourth down play calling was egregious Saturday night, as was his refusal to max protect Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping Aguilar inside to get beat up by UCLA's linebackers was a totally obtuse move on his part. Then the topper was zero adjustments at halftime. What do you think of that, Pitts?
I think it was less than zero.
Nice. Very nice. Good. I like that reference.
Okay.
The fact that Sark was figured out after the first series by defensive coordinator Ulbrich is criminal, as that guy is nothing but a wee-ho Halloween parade bear. Embarrassing. Embarrassing.
I like it.
Kessler is not a USC quarterback. He's a stat grabber versus Fresno and Colorado, but against real teams, he is indecisive, tentative, and the game is bigger than he is. He needs to shit or get off the pot and work on his arm strength because he has a candy arm. He is not a leader. He is an AYSO participation trophy guy who is someone I want my daughter to date, but not someone who has the nuts to F UCLA up. Max Turek is a tackle, not a center. After watching the Leon McQuay debacle, Juju Smith should start as safety versus Notre Dame. I'm with Peter on this one.
That's it's been a common thing in the calls this week. That's what a lot of people are wanting to see.
Is there a reason why?
Could have helped against Arizona State.
Sark needs to take the blame for that, especially. Smith is the best safety on the roster. Sark needs to take the blame for that, especially when we have Mitchell and had Blackwell on the roster. Add that to Sark's ineptitude roster mismanagement. They want Sark. Oh, wait, I guess there was a Daily Trojan article that that said that was pretty damning against Sark.
Really?
You know, that I guess that was Peter Italian's letter. I just kind of hope that in the protest last night they burned down Sark's house, but I guess the protest didn't get that far.
Yeah, it didn't.
That was a Rick personal thing.
Unless he's living in Missouri.
Unless he's living in Missouri. Hmm. Well, let's see.
Man, I don't disagree with really any of that.
Okay, well, let's get to Irish Tom.
All right. Well, what happens this week? Is it a rivalry game again?
It is. Hold on. Let me get. Can you hold my drink?
Yeah, I'm gonna drink your drink, but I'll hold it.
You don't like gin.
I don't not like gin. It's just not my favorite, but I like gin.
USC plays Notre Dame this Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
Say it.
It's the only time that matters.
At the Coliseum. Last week, we got a quick pick six, and then leading receiver at Nelson Aguilar muffed a punt, stopped blitzing after the first quarter. Defender slipped and fell down. Our head coach seems to believe we can make fourth down conversions rather than putting points on the board with a field goal, even though that hasn't been the case all season.
Sorry about that.
Seven wins Stark being stubborn and running draws and short yardage draws out of the shotgun reminds me of Lane Kiffin's habit of lining up for 2 points after every touchdown. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. I tried not to, but...
Who the fuck do you think you are, Sark? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's weird.
Stake your $3.75 million and wipe your ass with it.
Or take your 3 points.
Take your 3 points. I have no faith in Sark, Wilcox, or the program. I see no changes in the game plan from last week. No changes along the offensive line. More of the same conservative defense. I see Notre Dame winning this game 20-10.
Wow. Okay.
There's my prediction before we get to Irish Tom. Who?
This is tough.
Even though he's like lost 4 out of the last 5 games.
Yeah.
Despite that fact, he's calling in to make a statement.
The Irish suck right now.
And but, so do we.
I was gonna say, listen. Both teams have 4 losses, right?
Both teams are 7-4.
This game is like a golden painted turd.
Kickoff is early. It's a golden painted turd.
That's what this game is. It's still a rivalry game. If these teams were both 1-8, 1-9.
Fool's gold.
Yes.
Fool's gold painted turd.
We would still watch it.
We'll watch it because it's, and you know what? It won't fuck up our Thanksgiving weekend because
exactly
it's on at 12:30.
Yeah,
so
we're not going to be nervous.
We'll take our loss by 3:30 and then get on with the rest of our lives.
We'll start drinking at 5.
Oh yeah, 5 in the morning. I'll have Irish car bombs at you know 7-8 in the morning, and then margarita. Then the game will come, and I'll
Why
be glad.
Why the fuck would you drink Irish car bombs on the day that USC's playing the Irish?
I know.
That's
I'm glad.
That's stupid.
I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
I started on Saturday.
This is a tradition?
I started this on a specific Saturday in 2005. Okay. I don't remember if you remember that October day in Notre Dame.
It was damp.
Where the Bush push happened.
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
Okay. That's what you were drinking that day, and it worked.
Followed by a margarita.
Oh, crazy.
I was in Vegas.
All right. My dad and my brother were there. Those brave men.
Jazz was there.
God damn it. They should have gotten together and hugged.
That seems like so far away.
It was a long... That was 10 years
not
ago.
Not even. Almost.
Almost. Next year, it'll be 10 years since the Bush push. Oh, boy. I don't think we win this week. I think we lose by 10, maybe more.
Yeah, maybe it could be 30-20. Could be 40-30.
I think we score more than 10. You said 20-10?
I think it'll be
like something more like 30-17,
20-10, 24-10 USC. I'm sorry, 20-10, 24-10 Notre Dame. We make no adjustments, and we do more the same as last week, and we hear the same excuses from Sark afterward. Well, you didn't put our best foot forward.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, Brian Kelly's got a blueprint how to beat us, too, by the way.
Yeah, go, man, do it.
Have at it.
And Coach Kelly, you can go to the pros, too, as far as I'm concerned.
He's happy. I'm fine with him right where he is.
I can't wait.
Notre Dame's a mess.
I do have to ask Irish Tom about that. Anyway.
I hope he's there for 10 more years. He's a mess. Yeah. Mora can leave. That's fine with me. He's a damn good coach.
You want Kelly around.
Yeah, I want Kelly around. I want to eat that guy's shorts for lunch. Lunch. That's weird.
All right, let me see if I can get him.
Okay. Let's get him.
All right. Tom, happy 2014 football season to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Hello, USC podcast outsider people.
That's us.
Yeah,
and them.
We don't overthink it on the podcast, and... This year, for the jeweled Shillelagh trophy this Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time, the only time that matters, USC will play Notre Dame. So, Pitsy, I know that you've got a lot that you want to ask Irish Tom, you can get the first crack. And Irish Tom, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Talking about your beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Pitsy, go ahead.
First, I'd like to say hi, Tom. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
Ditto. The pleasure's all mine, Pitts.
I hope to see you at one of these games, either me coming out there 1 year or vice versa. We got to make that happen. And I know, Rick, that Rick did that last year, and we're starting to get banned from traveling because every time Rick and I go to a game, USC gets beat. So we'll work it out and we'll figure it out. Anyway, what
I wanted. We had a good time last year.
I heard.
Oh yeah. It was a great time. Aside from the game, it was a fan. I had a blast.
Good.
I fucking loved it.
I brought a buddy from Northwestern to the game a couple weeks ago, and we had a great day outside from the game. At least from my standpoint.
Right.
I know how you felt last year, Rick, and just like I was last year. He was a very gracious in victory.
Excellent.
Guest at the game. So.
Yeah, indeed.
That in itself is actually what college football is all about, right there, and should be. I think we tend to take it a little too far, like I did last week, and I almost killed myself after we lost to UCLA. I take it very personally.
I retreated into a hospital bathroom and took a bunch of pills.
Yes. I'm okay. I'm fine. I
woke up and they just thought that I was using the bathroom for a long time.
A long time. I there was poop everywhere. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about first out of the gate... Golson. Golson's a fine quarterback.
Everett.
And USC just faced one of the best in the country in Brett Hundley. And I just wanted to know if we've seen Brett over and over and over for the third time, and he's kicked our ass every time. And
Everett's got a pretty good score against us, too.
He sure does. And I just want to know if you think that he can keep it going and do kind of the things that Brett Hundley did to USC.
I don't know how many times did Brett Hundley turn the ball over for you guys?
He did
one
throw
time.
A pick
we
six.
Got a, we got a touchdown out of it. Yep.
Last
and then he put one on the ground right on the 4 yard line
before they
could have gone up by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, so that's to be honest with you, that's the tail of the tape on Golson. He's been brilliant at times, but even when we were winning early in the season, he was giving it away to the other team far too often. As a matter of fact, here's a fact that might shock you, might not, but he's actually turned the ball over more this year than Tommy Rees did last year. And Tommy Rees was not known for protecting the ball, so that tells you kind of what Golson's been doing. He likes to put the ball on the ground. He'll give it to you in the air. He continues to find new ways to turn the ball over to the other team in spectacular fashion. So if there was one thing I would tell you that I'm most concerned about is his lack of ability to protect the ball. I think out of our last, we've lost 4 out of our last 5 games, we would have been good enough to beat all those teams had he just protected the ball half as much as he actually did. So, I'm sorry, that didn't come out right. Half as much. He had turned it over half as much as he actually did. You can edit that out, right?
I got that. Well, we know what you mean. So
I don't think he's Brett Hundley. I don't think he's one of the best in the country.
Okay.
He's got a good arm. He can scramble a little bit. He's certainly not a run-first quarterback. Our offensive line doesn't practice running very much. We don't run the ball all that well with him. We tried to run a quarterback draw to win the game last week, and the pocket collapsed before he could actually execute it. So not excited about our offensive line. On the plus side, our coach doesn't really care about the running game because he's so pass happy. So he puts it all on Golson, and rather than having a balanced running game and give the ball to one of our 5-star running backs, he lets them block, and Golson runs around like a chicken with his head cut off and tries to throw the ball. And you get what you get. So,
well, that sounds an awful lot like USC, other than instead of running around with a chicken with his head cut off, we just kind of take a sack. If it makes
I wish he would take a sack.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, USC's defensive line, which many thought might be one of the best in the country, probably won't get any pressure on Everett Golson this week, so he'll be able to sit back in the pocket and do whatever he can.
He can pick our secondary apart.
Yep,
and he'll have the opportunity because there won't be any adjustments on Wilcox's side. That's the defensive coordinator for USC. Don't worry about him; his name's not important. He'll be coaching some high school football team in a couple of years and teaching AP history.
Well, I can tell you, you know, if that's what you do, you'll play right into Brian Kelly's hands because he will not make any attempt to run the ball. He will throw the ball. The one thing we do have is a decent receiving core, and so he will do whatever he can to get the ball downfield to Robinson or Fuller. They seem to be the most productive wide receivers we have this year.
They do, as a matter of fact. I was going to say, you've got tight end Corey Robertson, Will Fuller, who's your receiver, Amir Carlisle, who's a USC transfer.
Yep.
These guys have been very productive and very reliable. They do catch the ball when it's thrown to them. And I do see that. I think that Golson will have the time to make his decision. And really, it's because of the lack of coaching on the defensive side. We might blitz for the first quarter like we did against UCLA, but they'll
drop it anymore.
They'll drop that after the first quarter, if at all, and he'll be able to do what he wants. So I know that your running back, Folston, am I messing up his name? Is it Taryn or Tarian?
Yes.
Tarian.
Come on.
He doesn't get the ball enough for me to have learned his name properly.
Well, look, he had 134 yards in a losing effort against Louisville, but 134 yards by a running back in a game. I think he deserves to get some credit for it. I mean, I like the way he runs.
I wish we would give him the ball more. It's kind of like a couple years ago when we had a guy named Robert Hughes who's playing in the NFL now, and we finally gave him the ball in a game against you guys, and he just plowed right up the field, right through your defense, ended up helping us win that game, and in spite of ourselves, I think. And I think our coach is just too stubborn to actually let a running back take the game over. You can have – we were running well with Folston. Didn't matter to him. When we got down to the goal line, you know, he starts trying to get cute and throw passes and put the ball in our quarterback's hands, and that just hasn't produced wins this year.
Well, that sounds awfully familiar.
And it sounds like you're not now, Pitts. Do you want to say something before I switch to the other side of the ball? Would you like to? Because I'm going to talk to Tom about the other two phases of the game. But would you like to add anything about Amir Carlisle?
I had written that down, and I just want to say that he's been beating up on teams and taking a lot of punts and doing kickoff returns. Is that right? And really lighting guys up.
Yeah, he does kickoff returns. He does a little scat back, like flanker type work on the offense. But I think he's been most effective as a kick returner. He hasn't taken any back yet, but he certainly contributes, and he's got sure hands. And he's been good. I'm glad he turned to Notre Dame, and you know, he's been a productive member of the team. I don't have a bad word to say about
him.
Thank you for him.
I do have a bad word to say about him, and it's go fuck yourself, Amir, and thank you for leaving. USC could have used you.
You ran him off.
Yeah, no, I'm not writing him off. He's done good things for you.
No,
and
you ran him off. Your coach is Lane Kiffin. Ran him off. If you wanted him, you shouldn't have had Kiffin coaching.
Listen, if you want me to stand up here and defend Lane Kiffin, I'm not going to do it.
You did a couple years ago.
Yeah,
that's probably me. That's probably me who did it. Actually,
it was probably Rick, and I was the one that was anti Lane Kiffin, and Rick was full Lane Kiffin.
We're all fans of Layla Kiffin. Like, we can all agree on that.
Yes, we're all fans of Layla, and we can all agree that Lane Kiffin falls up.
He does.
God damn that guy. So does Sark, apparently.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Anyway.
Well,
Brian Kelly does soon.
You know, if your coach wants to follow Brett Hundley into the pros and Everett Golson into the pros after this year, he is totally welcome. He's got a winning record over USC. I'd like to see Brian Kelly gone. And but you know what? On that, real quick, Tom, do you think that Brian Kelly will or is able to lead Notre Dame to a national championship in this era of college football?
I don't think he was able to lead Notre Dame to a national championship in any era of college football, particularly this one.
Okay.
He got close in 2012. And I think that was the exception rather than the norm. His other seasons have been four and five loss seasons. And while Notre Dame would like to tout that he's the first coach to win eight games in each of his first four seasons, he's also the first kid coach to have lost four games in each of his first four seasons because he's played more games than the other coaches. So I think he's mediocre at best. We've seen where, you know, he'll pull up a couple of good wins, like Oklahoma a couple of years ago. We thought Michigan was a good win this year. Little did we know how bad they suck. I'd even give him credit for beating Florida State this year before the refs stole the game from us. But frankly, he shits the bed against teams like Northwestern, and he damn near lost to Navy this year again. And he's not a national championship caliber coach. He's too arrogant to make any changes. He thinks he's got to be the one calling the plays, which gets him down into the trees too far to be a head coach and make better decisions like should we go for one or go for two and actually do the math or look at your chart and tell you what you should do.
My God, I never thought that I would empathize with a Notre Dame guy, but you may as well be reading off of the complaints of the USC outsider right now.
But I think there's a flip side to this. While USC is not happy with the hiring of Justin Wilcox and the ejection of Clancy Pendergast for the defensive coordinator role, I think that Notre Dame, once they get their defensive guys back to full health, I think Brian Van Gorder's defensive schemes aren't terrible. I do think that he adjusts at halftime, and I have seen you guys come out stronger on defense at the half over the course of the season. I do think he adjusts, and I do know that after reading some of the boards from Notre Dame, that I know there's a lot of questioning of Van Gorder's defensive schemes. I do think, however, that he's an intelligent dude, and you know he'll get you guys going, especially next year when you've got a lot more guys at full strength.
Here's the scoop on Van Gorder. He came in, he brought a much-needed aggressiveness to the defense. We were blitzing, we were getting to the quarterback, we were hitting hard, but we have suffered a fair number of injuries, and we're decimated on the front line. And his defensive scheme is rather complex, and he's lost throughout the course of the season. At any given time, we lost Austin Collinsworth, who was kind of the quarterback of the defense from the defensive back position as a safety. And then we had a walk-on, Joe Schmidt, who actually stepped up, a preferred walk-on. I don't want to make him...
No, he stepped up. He was actually a leader.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he learned the defense. He was the quarterback of the defense at middle linebacker, and he broke his leg in the Navy game because of those dirty fuckers, chop block and cut block, and he was a casualty in that game.
Those men are heroes.
They're fighting for our country. They're not dirty fuckers.
No, they're not. They're cheating their way through the academy, and they're going to be dickless officers.
That's why we have you on.
For our country.
All right.
So we didn't play the U.S. Navy. We played the Naval Academy. So let's just be clear here. I'm not denigrating the U.S. Navy. I'm denigrating the piece of shit coach, Ken Niasamata, what's his name, and the fucking chop-blocking people that play for him that are dirty motherfucking cocksuckers.
The seamen. The U.S. seamen.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So there were seamen all over the field, and they were dirty motherfucking seamen. So that said, Van Gorder's scheme was a little too complex once those quarterbacks had to sit on the bench with, I just dropped my beer.
Oh.
So anyway, you guys are getting me pissed off. So, long story short, we don't have our intelligent guys on the field anymore that know the defense, and my knock on Van Gorder is he hasn't adjusted. He hasn't simplified anything. He hasn't done anything with the scheme. He's still running the same complex defense, but we got freshmen and sophomores out there.
That sounds a lot like when we had Monty Kiffin.
To execute it.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he may make adjustments at halftime, but from a season standpoint, he doesn't make the adjustments that needed to support his rather green personnel that he's got now to play with.
Well, I would
say
that's
my knock on Van Gorder.
And understood. I do think that given the if Jalen Smith and Max Redfield if he actually plays, you know, if they let him play this week.
Yeah.
I do think that they've got a better shot at pulling this game out, and I still say that that you guys win by about 10. And that's because I'm completely disappointed embarrassed and cannot believe that we're paying Steve Sarkisian $3.75 million a year to coach a team where he can't, he's got no track record. To think
he has a track record, but it's a bad one.
Seven win Sark has a track record. I just can't believe that you would pay a guy that was an assistant coach for Pete Carroll, like Kiffin was, $3.75 million a year to do. He's got nothing. So because of that,
we're still paying Charlie White that much money every year to sit home and eat cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
So he and Willingham are still on the payroll. Willingham's playing golf. White is at home eating cheeseburgers. We're paying Kelly $1.5 million to not run the football and to put his quarterback in a position where he's going to throw the ball to the other team for 6 points the other way. And that's why I'm picking you guys to win tomorrow. And because you guys are going to score points on defense.
I think this is hilarious that both of us, in the past years when we've had Irish talk, we've been going back and forth. Ah, we're gonna kick your ass, and we've got this, and you've got that. This year, you're talking about how shitty you guys are, and we're talking about how shitty our team is.
Yeah.
I have never
picked you guys in all of our years of doing this. I've never picked you guys.
Oh, I would never pick the Irish. But I am this year incredible. By 10. You're winning by 10 this year.
My God.
I'm so disappointed.
You guys are going to beat us 35-17. And
no.
You're going to have at least one defensive score.
I think in all the years that we've been doing this, I've never picked you guys to win. And I've been wrong every time. But shit, you're going to win this year. You're going to win I think it's not going to be 10. I think it might be like 6.
And
it's
going to
be a stupid, weird
I'm not
score.
Even upset saying it. It's like I'm glad that the game is at 12:30 because we get done early on a Saturday out here in L.A., you know, and we'll, you know, and by the way, it's going to be, you know, 85 and sunny if you want to come out last minute instead of going to Michigan.
Northern Michigan. I probably won't even watch the game.
Yeah, you guys are probably going to be in a shelter.
I don't think
shelter.
My in-laws have a TV.
I heard they have those over there, though.
TVs are coming to the UK.
Did I tell you guys that Navy is a bunch of fucking dirty cheating?
You
bastards?
Did. As a matter, you did get that in. You did get that in. I don't think there's a lot of seamen who listen to the USC Outsider podcast, but you did. You definitely have made that.
Rick,
clear.
Did I not tell you that?
I just want you to know, you guys should never play them because they're not. They're bad people.
Well, we'd never play a team that crummy. So anyway.
Yeah, fuck. We don't need to.
We'd never play any of the service teams.
Why? Yeah, why? What's the? Where's the dignity in that?
I would love to end our series with them.
Yeah, they're pretty great. Actually, I'm just giving you a shit time.
But anyway, Irish Tom, as always, thank you for calling and have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and safe travels and. And then you know, I think that. We'll check in with you again when you realize that as bad as you think your team is, they're still good enough to beat USC at home.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk on Saturday night, I'm sure.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, Tom. Talk to you later.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Bye. Yeah. What a week.
That's a fine gentleman, that Irish Tom.
Always good talking to him. And,
as much res as he gives us, and as much as we give him back, it's weird that both places that we're in right now, fuck, we both suck. We're going to lose this week, Rick.
Yep, we are. We're going to lose. Fight on.
Fight on.